to at least bring the word. And if you're able to stay, then please stay. This morning, you know, we're on a journey during this season of Lent. This season of Lent really, in many ways, has not been an easy journey for us, is it? A journey really where God has called us to look inside, to seek to see with His own eyes those areas of life, of our lives, that He wants to love us through. Because we understand that the Scripture teaches us that God only disciplines those that He loves, right? And so discipline isn't always easy, but many times it's the things that we need to hear, right? And so if you've not been disciplined, if you've not been challenged during this season of Lent, I would ask you to question yourself and where you're at in your relationship with Jesus. And so this morning, we've read this story lots and lots of times, and we're going to read it again. And so I'm going to ask that you would stand for the reading of God's Word, and let me pray for us. We're going to be reading the triumphal entry story. And this morning, would you as well be open to maybe what God would say to you? Maybe it's an old story, but may it become new and fresh in your lives today. So let's pray. Father, we come. Father, we're drawing close to Easter, to that moment that we're privileged to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord that Aubrey just sang so beautifully about. But our minds slip and move back to that time. Jesus, you were preparing those that you loved in Jerusalem for your eventual crucifixion. I pray today that the word would be alive in our hearts and lives, and that you might challenge us and help us as we journey in life, as we seek to be Palm Sunday Christians. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell them that the Lord needs them, and He will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." May God bless the reading of His Word. You may be seated. This morning, we have come to wave palm branches and shout Hosanna. You saw that the kids did that when they came into the service. And let's be honest, they weren't really organized and some of them didn't shout. But maybe it was similar to that on the day that Jesus came. It may not have been a very organized group, but they were there shouting Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, the King of David. You know, Palm Sunday for us can feel like a reprieve from the season of Lent. For a lot of this season, we've really been focusing on maybe repenting, focusing on confessing, focusing on allowing God to speak to our hearts. And yet this morning we come and we wave our palm branches and we celebrate, because that's what this day is, a day of celebration. But oftentimes we forget that Hosanna is a cry of desperation that means, Lord, please save us. It really is a plea for rescue. We know what the people were going through, don't we? This wasn't Florida in the wintertime, was it? No, these people were held captive. These people were dominated by a conquering force, a force that took over their lands. And so they were crying. Those in the crowd that day were not singing songs of joy in worship in the way that we think. They really were singing songs of liberation. They were oppressed people who desperately, desperately needed a Savior. Not in a metaphorical sense, but in a real sense. They were suffering and they longed to be saved. You know, sometimes, and we've heard it all along, that sometimes we ridicule those who were in the crowd that day as though they were missing the point of Jesus coming. We treat their desire for a political Savior, for a political solution, a saving from the Roman government, as ludicrous. But if we're really honest, wouldn't anyone in their place long for the same thing? Even though Jesus came in unexpected ways, peaceful and not violent, humble and not flashy, he did come to liberate them. His liberation, though, was going to look completely different than what they thought. But it was never meant to be about a spirituality that was separated from physical suffering. In fact, Jesus' liberation, if you think about it, really came as a holistic liberation. It really encompassed the whole of mankind. You know, we can miss that reality when we, like today, rush into praise and celebrate on this Palm Sunday. And if we're honest, if we're really honest, we can gloss over our own realities. We can gloss over our own pain. We can gloss over our own suffering. We can gloss over our need for a Savior in the totality of our lives, in the totality of our spiritual lives, in the totality of our emotional lives, in the totality of our physical lives. We can gloss over and miss the deep-hearted cries for Hosanna. A desperate cry that is crying out in our world today. Think about the world that we live in. When we continue to hear news each and every day, I don't know about you, but when I see senseless people being murdered, when I see innocent civilians with their hands tied behind their back lying dead on the floor, on the ground, I cry out, oh Lord, save us. When I see the evil that's taking place not only over in Ukraine, but evil that's taking place in our world, when it really does seem to be an upside down world where wrong has become right. And I'm not trying to get political, please forgive me. But where somebody who can't even explain what a woman is, I'm sorry. My 9-year-old granddaughter could tell you what a woman is. And so we cry out today as well. We cry out for a Savior. Now we understand that the Roman triumphal entry, that procession, was the highest honor that was paid to anybody in the Roman government. Typically, it was reserved for emperors and for generals. It was given to those who were victorious in battle. And if you know anything about it, and you've probably heard this before, but if, as we look at the processional, typically the processional was first led by Roman officials, high government officials led the parade or the processionals. It was then followed, kind of like some of our parades today when politicians march in our parades. And then it was led by sacrificial animals. Those sacrificial animals were intended for the sacrifices in the Roman temples to the Roman gods. And then it was the victor who came riding in his chariot with a horse leading it, dressed in purple regalia. After that followed the captives of war. The spoils of war followed behind them. This processional included it was a festive experience. There was lots of singing and dancing. Flower petals were thrown along the ground, and the parade route or the processional route was often clean and made ready for this time. But one of the things that we notice in our story is that Jesus' triumphal entry was different. He didn't come into Rome, the heart of the empire. Instead, he went into Jerusalem, the location of the temple and the heart of the Jewish faith. He was also not entering as a victor of war. Instead, when Jesus marched down, walked down this road, down the street, he was riding towards his death, which was a victorious act in a different kind. Jesus' triumphal entry really is an example of the upside-down kingdom of God, where victory comes through humility. Did you hear that? Victory comes through humility. Victory doesn't come through pride. Victory doesn't come boasting oneself up. Victory came through humility. Rather than violent means of conquering a foe, instead of a horse and a chariot, Jesus rode a donkey. Another illustration of humility. And we know donkeys were pack animals, not war animals. They were a symbol of peace as opposed to a symbol of war. Jesus' departure from the norm wasn't just in his triumphal entry. Really, as we look at the life of Jesus, it was the way in which he lived, the way that in which he was born. You see, the triumphal entry illustrates the ways that Jesus used the Roman symbol in a different way. His entire life was dedicated to a different way. Born in a stable, not a palace. Welcomed by shepherds, not by nobility. His ministry confounded the Jewish leaders as he healed on the Sabbath, ministered to the Gentiles, humanized women, and pushed back against other religious norms. Let's go on. Jesus freed people physically. He performed miracles of healing that restored sight, that restored mobility, that restored health, and even life from the death. Jesus, because of who he was, met people at their basic needs. He does that for us, my friends, as well, like hunger and thirst and feeding the multitudes, turning water into wine. And he even helped the disciples to fish and to have a living. Jesus' resurrection is the ultimate testament to God's liberation of the physical body, because in Jesus' resurrection, we get a glimpse of the type of bodily resurrection that awaits you and I. Jesus freed people in social ways too. He freed people from the bondage to destructive systems. He called people, you and I, to live in a different way. He called tax collectors to stop cheating people. He called the rich and the wealthy to live lives of generosity. He called even laborers to rest from their toils, to rest them in their weary work. He pronounced blessings upon the poor, and he overturned tables in the temple to illustrate his intolerance of injustice and exploitation. Jesus called people out of legalism, breaking religious rules by being willing to touch and to talk to women who weren't even a part of his immediate family. Jesus broke the rules by healing on the Sabbath and touching the diseased who were considered unclean. Jesus called people out of their systems of prejudice by the way that he treated an ethnic hated group, the Samaritans. You know the Samaritans were unclean. You know that people would journey around Samaria because they didn't want to go through Samaria because they were unclean, they were untouchable. He honored and he prioritized women and socialized with outcasts and sinners. Jesus freed people from spiritual destruction. He exorcised demons in people's lives. He pointed people towards God. He called his followers to righteousness and urged people to repent of their sins. Jesus sought to save people from their sin and their destruction and their brokenness. Do you hear that? Jesus desires to save us from our brokenness, from our sins. And if that, and since that is the case, let me say this to you. You may be here today, and you may feel, you may sense that you're broken beyond repair. You may feel that nobody can heal me. Nobody can heal the things of the past. Well, I want to say to you today that Jesus is the God of those who are broken. And that you don't have to live there anymore. It doesn't matter what's happened to you in your life. And I'm not selling that short. What you went through was difficult. What you went through was trying. What you went through, you may not have, should not have gone through. But Jesus wants to redeem that. And Jesus wants to heal that in your life. Go on. I hope that you hear that today, if you don't hear anything else. The road that led through Jerusalem was the same road that led to the cross. The work of Christ had already begun. He had already begun saving people, but the work came to a point of atonement through the cross. The death of Christ is the ultimate act of liberation from sin. The work continues in the resurrection as the liberation from death, and it will continue on to completion when Christ returns and makes all things right. You hear that? He is going to make all things right. You see, the people didn't understand the way to be freed wasn't through power or control, but through love and humility. We need to hear that as well, my friends. That if you want to have power in this life, you want to have power in this life? Through it, do it by love and humility. Do it by loving other people greater than yourself. Do it by laying your life down for other people. Then you'll have power. Then you'll have influence. You see, the people long to claim the kingdom of the world, but Jesus longed to give them the kingdom of heaven. We see that that's, isn't that what Jesus taught his disciples to pray? That the kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven? that true liberation would not be escaped, would not be an escape of souls to heaven, but by joining of the earth with heaven in restored fullness. Despite their lack of understanding, the cries of Hosanna were being answered in the midst of those shouting it. And I want to say to you today that the cries for Hosanna that we are calling out, hear this, are being answered today. They're being answered in your midst. They couldn't see, and you may not see as well. But Jesus is answering your cries. Hear this. Some of you are wrestling with your children who may not know Jesus. Sherry, forgive me, but for Ryan who may be in prison, hear this, that Jesus is answering your cry. Hear this, my friends, the burdens that you face. My God, your God is hearing you. You may not see them today. You may not even see them before you pass and go on to heaven. But I believe that Jesus hears you. He knows your cries. And he is answering. Let's go on. Amen. Whoops. We often miss the kingdom of God in our midst in the same way the crowd did that day in Jerusalem. We look for a political hero. We look for fulfillment in idols of our own making. We get bogged down in despair when it feels like the world is too big for us. We stop looking for solutions. We hear the cries for liberation around us when the task feels insurmountable. We ignore our own needs for liberation because transformation is uncomfortable. We fear what we are being called to. We struggle with what it means to be vulnerable. We allow shame to dictate our lives. But my friends, Jesus longs to make you whole. Jesus longs to give you a holistic liberation, physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. Jesus longs to bring complete healing to you. He longs to liberate us from our sin and social oppression. He longs to liberate us from racism and sexism and greed and lust for power and control. He also longs to liberate the oppressed. And because he's so great, he longs to liberate the oppressor. Jesus came to save us, to respond to your, to respond to my deep cries for Hosanna. And so we must be open and surrender to his work so that his work may be reflected in our lives, so that we might return and repent and seek him, so that we might realize what sin is and that it destroys his work in our lives. It destroys our relationship with him. Let me just say to you, I don't care what it is. If there's an issue that you're struggling with, if there's something that you know that Jesus has been touching you on the shoulder about, if you know that there is a way of your life that is unpleasing to him, allow him to have his way in your life. Because in all honesty, all that we do when we do that is we block his blessings. We block his presence. We block him working in and through our lives. And my friends, don't you want Jesus best for you? Don't you want his blessings? Don't you want his presence? Don't you want the flow of his Spirit through your lives? Let's go on. So as we conclude, we cry out, Hosanna, O Lord, please save us. We cry out for the brokenness of our lives. And my friends, if we listen, we can hear the cries all around us. We see the consequences of sin. We see brokenness. and we see the need for a Savior. We cry out and know that God is answering our cries. God answers the cries when He came to earth to take on humanity. He answers the cries when He comes to show us a different way. And let me say to you that your world needs to see a different way. Your world needs to see something different. Because, forgive me if this sounds wrong, but you have a choice today. You have a choice today either to feed into the systems of the world, and we know the results of that, or to feed into your world Christ, which really is victory. And so what are you going to feed into the world that you live in? Are they going to see Jesus in you? Or are they going to see the world that offers them nothing but pain and destruction? Jesus has come to show us a different way, another way. Will you be a part of the solution or part of the problem? Jesus came to heal, to restore, to repair, to lift up, and to help people, to bring people out of bondage. On that journey that day into Jerusalem, Jesus wasn't journeying towards an earthly throne. But yet, the King of the universe was being declared. The kingdom of God, my friends, is present here and now. And you and I are invited to participate in it. And we pray, and shouldn't we pray, that the kingdom of God would come in its fullness? We should pray that the Savior would come again to make all things new. And so I'll close with these questions today. Where do you need a Savior? Where in your life do you need a Savior? Where is Jesus seeking to free you? What areas are you in bondage to? What is Jesus seeking to tear down? And you understand that when He tears down, then He builds back up, right? Where are you being called to join in the work of the kingdom of God? What's God saying to you? How does He want you to be involved in His kingdom to make a difference in our world? Whose cry for salvation are you being urged to listen to more deeply? May we surrender fully to the saving power of Jesus. May we cry out with the knowledge that our cries are being heard. And may we not find salvation in anything but Christ alone. May it be Jesus alone. Jesus only. Jesus everything in life. Would you stand with me as we close in prayer? Oh Jesus, this morning we want to say thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for coming. For riding into the citadels of our hearts and showing us our great need of you, of revealing who you are, the Lord of all creation, the Lord who loves us, who cares for the broken, those who are cast down, those who have been stepped on and deeply hurt by the world. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you came to be the victor of our hearts. And so this morning, we anew surrender our hearts to you, Jesus. We give them to you. Lord, we say, have thy will in the way, thy way in the lives that you've given to us. Be glorified through these lives. And may others see you, Jesus, through us. Thank you, Father, for this time, and thank you for each and every person who has come this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. I love you.